Hiya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and creators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boorloo, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. My guest today joined me all the way from Korea as well. And you might know his music from certain films like Parasite, Okja, Mickey 17, Squid Game, which is not a film, of course, but it's a TV show that you all know the music for, and Broker, amongst a whole bunch of other works. Art is labor. This is the statement from composer Yong Jae-il, the man behind those iconic scores I've just mentioned. He's a frequent collaborator with Bong Joon-ho and, of course, Hirokazu Koreeda as well. But for Yong Jae-il, the art of composing a score is work. It is labor. But also for Yong Jae-il, artists like Roxette, Metallica, Bjork are notable influences on his work, while Pina Bausch's Dancing left a lingering mark on his mind. It's these kinds of artists who have influenced him on his solo album, Listen, which was released in 2023. It's an album which I've been listening to quite a bit, actually, over the past couple of weeks, just because it is quite a transcendental piece. And I find the dichotomy between what he's doing in his solo work versus what he's doing as a collaborator on work like Parasite, like Okja, like Mickey 17, or creating something like Squid Game as well, where he is an artist for hire, effectively, and there is a difference there. He knows exactly what to do. While I didn't ask him, because he's been asked this before, and I highly recommend seeking out some of the other interviews that he's done, and I'll make sure to stick a link to the show notes for the BFI interview that he did a few years ago, which he talks quite at length about his work and the influence of certain things and the way that he decides what he's going to do and how composing and being an artist is a job. I find that so fascinating, especially given from an Australian perspective, where we almost treat being an artist like a luxury, like it is not a real vocation, which is not true. It is actual work. It is work. It is something that you're putting your heart, your soul, your mind into, and you deserve to be paid properly for it. And you deserve to be able to be hired by certain places and people to be able to do your work as well. That's what being a worker actually means. But you can actually be a worker and an artist. And I think that Yong Jae-il really shows that in his work. Again, there is a clear delineation between the art for the self and the art for a job, and it's his work on Parasite where that distinction is felt. While his passion for his album Listen shows an artist in harmony with his craft. I did quite a bit of a deep dive researching Yong Jae-il prior to this interview because I wanted to find out who he was as a person, and he's a fascinating individual. Like many people in Korea, he had to do a year of military service, so that leads to one of the questions which I ask about the Parasite score, which you'll hear a bit later on, and I'll play that snippet of that score as well as I lead into the interview later. But I find him such a fascinating person because he is so in tune with what it means to be an artist, and yet he also knows the value of his art too, hence why he says art is labor. Art is something that he needs to be paid for, deserves to be paid for, and he works hard to be paid at the level he is getting paid to do it. This is just some of the things that we discuss in the following interview. And I think that I surprised Yong Jae-il a little bit by having done some of the research. The look on his face, I wish that I had recorded the video as well so you could see, but the look on his face when I was asking him about things like Metallica, his face lit up when he found out that in Australia that we have magazines back in the day where you would get a CD on the front cover and have a sample of a whole bunch of different music to listen to and to devolve into. And then I found it so fascinating to hear about where he found American music too in Korea. That's quite something. And then he was also quite interested and maybe taken aback a little bit about my asking about him knowing that he needed to work for his money. And I think that, you know, as a young person, we maybe don't consider that we have to work for an income all that much. We don't think that because the world is kind of like our oyster in a way, even though we do know that we will have to grow up and earn a living at some stage. But the conversation in that regards is reflected by the way that the people that he's worked with often engage in stories about class. Think about Squid Game is probably a great example. Broker is also a prime example. But naturally, of course, Parasite being Parasite is the finest example of a class structure. And it's not just a class structure. There are three layers of the class structure. There's the workers, the help people in the house. There's the people who have the house. And there's the people who, well, the family that effectively invades the house and does the what they do. And it's up to you to see who's the hero and who's the villain in that piece. But that's the nature of class as well. And I find the way that certain directors and filmmakers have tapped onto his work and said, yeah, we really like what you're doing and how you're exploring class this way. And that's one of the things which I ask about his worldview as well. And we talk about his interest in Balkan music and how that impacts his choice of scores. And then being tapped into the different styles of, in inverted commas, world music. Because the term world music really is such a broad term as well. And it's such a Western term as well, in the sense that, you know, we of course think that it is world music because it is often delivered by somebody who is not speaking English as their first language. And it's really quite a narrow-minded perspective. Now, I'm not going to go down into that rabbit hole because I've already spoken far too long. But I mention that as one of the things to keep in mind when you listen to this particular interview. I had a great time being able to talk with Jung Jae-il about his work. And I recorded this, of course, ahead of his performance of the live score for Parasite at the 2025 Melbourne International Film Festival. He has a really jam-packed day on the 23rd of August, by the way, because not only is he doing two live performances of the Parasite score, but at 10:30 in the morning, he's also got a conversation with Caitlin Yeoh at MIFF. And look, I tell you what, it would be phenomenal to be in the audience to listen to Caitlin, one of my favourite Australian composers, talking with Jung Jae-il about his work. That would be quite the experience. But then also getting to see Parasite with a live score on that day as well would be quite something too. If you're interested and have the ability to go, then please visit miff.com.au to purchase tickets. I would love to be there, but alas, I'm in Perth, Western Australia. And I'll be pushing out a whole bunch more interviews and reviews this week as well from MIFF, broadcasting from afar, where we've got a whole bunch of different coverage and a few bonus episodes coming up too. And if you want to find out more about those, then visit thecurb.com.au or you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Blue Sky at thecurb.au. Also, we are completely independent and an ad-free website, and we live in support of listeners and readers just like yourself. So if you can, visit patreon.com/thecurb.au to support our work from as little as $1 a month. And make sure to rate and review us on the podcast bar of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. Once again, new interviews drop on Thursdays with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays. This is one of those bonus chats. Pretty phenomenal get, if you ask me. Right, that's far too long of me talking. Hopefully you've skipped far enough to listen to this particular interview, but if you've not, then here's a slice of the Parasite score, followed by my interview with Jung Jae-il. I'm fascinated by your journey into music because I understand that you started playing piano at like 3 years of age. Is that correct?
Yeah, 3 or 4, I guess.
I also understand that's not an uncommon thing for people in Korea to play music at such an early age. Can you talk about the cultural push for kids to be playing music at a young age?
Well, it's pretty common, you know. Mothers wants to educate their children, and piano is first, and maybe mathematics or science. It's very common in Korea. So piano is the very common instrument to start as a kid.
Yeah. And I understand you've got a complicated relationship with piano as well. It's a love-hate relationship. Is that correct?
I really hated it.
What turned you off it?
Was a good child.
Yeah. I understand you love it now, but what did you not like about it then?
Their method to teaching.
Okay.
Sometimes piano teacher hits you with like
Right.
your hands with pans or something like that. Yeah. When you do wrong.
Yeah. I was around that generation as well, where it was a discipline of, basically the phasing out of the cane and things like that, which happened in Australia. And it was really this notion of, violence or pain to discipline to get you to do something, and it for me was never something that worked at all, and it sounds like it's the same for you too. Hopefully it's something that's been phased out in Korea though.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but then I also understand as well that your interest in heavy metal music too
Oh,
came later on,
yeah.
like Metallica, which I think is so fascinating because I have heard this kind of influence in some of your music. But I wonder if your interest in that music was almost a reaction against the piano and this kind of, almost a rebellious streak in a way. Was that something that you found as your affinity with that kind of music grew?
To be honest, I just found this group called Roxette. They're from
Oh
Sweden. Yeah.
yeah.
And the guitarist was a composer of the band. And wow, what is this instrument? I just felt that. And yeah, that's why I started to grab a electric guitar. And in 1991, Metallica released their album Cold Black.
Yeah.
And what is this music?
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I feel like Stravinsky, Igor Stravinsky's some kind of revolution. Yeah, I
Yeah.
felt that. And I just fell in love with Metallica and thrash metal music. And at the same time, Nirvana just released their album, Nevermind. Yeah, and Nirvana, Metallica was a revolution for me. It's 1991, I guess so.
Yeah. So how did you discover that music then?
There is a magazine called Hot Music in Korea. And I just subscribed the magazine. Yep.
Yeah. Did you ever, because in Australia, we used to have magazines that would come with a CD and it would
Oh,
have
really?
samples of music on there. Yeah. So you
Oh,
could listen
lovely.
to some of the major tracks from things. That's how I discovered a lot of music. Certainly like Mexican music and Japanese music, a lot of the metal music from those areas, I would
Oh.
discover them through those CDs. It was such a gold mine of discovery. I loved
Oh
it.
yeah.
So you didn't get any of those kinds of CDs, or it was just reading them and then you'd go to the music shop and find the
That's
CDs?
it. And I didn't have money. I had to buy cassettes. Not CD. CD was too expensive.
That's fair enough. Of course, yeah, I keep on forgetting, like, the CDs were big in like the late 90s, but in the early 90s, it feels so long ago. But did you have to, like, did you go to music stores and listen to the music as well, on the cassettes or anything like that?
Well, we have American soldiers, American troops here in Seoul. So they have their own broadcasting system called AFN. And they broadcast a lot of fascinating things.
Wow,
I just found
that's
that.
yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's really interesting. And then you tune in and it's like tapping into a different culture as well. Because what I've found about your work is that you do so much investigation and research into different music styles and cultures. I know for I think it was Okja, you did research into Balkan music and you're playing that in there. And you're really playing with all these different cultural music styles, but it doesn't seem like it's work for you, but it's a genuine interest of diving into all this different culture. Can you talk about your research process in learning about different music from around the world?
When I was 12 years old, 13 years old, I just found this Korean traditional court music. And it was like it was very dramatic. It was like music from somewhere else, not from this planet. So I just fell in love with what is so-called world music, traditional music everywhere. It's like Korean traditional music. I just fell in love with Korean traditional music. And I found this Balkan music and Japanese, Chinese, everywhere. And I digged to find various traditional music. And I found this art called modern dance. I found this artist called Pina Bausch, and she's very famous for her works for different cities. And I'm a musician. I compose for something, but the way she used music was totally different. It was very interesting for me, and I'm so touched. And then traditional art is not composers' works. Traditional art is people's works, you know? It's been more than hundreds of years. A composer cannot compose the piece of like that. So I really felt that power in that like healing or something. That's why I fell in love with traditional arts and traditional music.
This makes like you saying this makes certain aspects of your music make so much sense. And if we talk about the Parasite score for a moment, there's one track in particular, Mr. Yoon and Park, which is very militaristic in a way. The drum beat is quite militaristic. And I know that you have to do your military training for a year. And it feels like there is a blend of that, the militaristic style with traditional style. Can you talk about bringing that to life in the score?
Well, regarding that cue, Mr. Director Bong Joon-ho just asked me to. He just told me it's time. It's about 40 minutes of the movie, and now it's time. Some people going to sleep. So you should wake up. You should wake them up with music.
Right.
That's
Wow.
why I choose percussions.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. So there's no your military years, like, is there any influence then on your music? Does that?
Not that much.
No? Okay. That's fair enough. Because I find it interesting your cultural investigation and exploration, like we're talking about the traditional music. I feel that in your scores, not just in
Oh,
Parasite,
really?
but in,
Whoa.
yeah. But I, in particular, your solo work, with the one that you just released, what, 2 years ago? I've been listening to that over the past week, and I find it really quite calming, and it's very beautiful. And I'm finding the difference between you being expressive that way versus what you're having to do for a composing of a score for like Director Bong or Squid Game or anything like that. I'm feeling your expressive nature come through in your work a little bit differently than the composing work.
Oh
Can you
yeah.
talk about the conflict or the personality expression in your own work that way?
Well, to be honest, I do you know Bjork?
Of course, I saw her twice. She was in Perth just recently,
Oh
2 years ago,
really?
for
Oh
her
the
Fossora. Yeah. Oh, best concerts I've ever been to.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I just fell in love with Bjork. I wanted to be her. When I was, it was like, when 20 years old, when I was a teenager, I just fell in love with her. I wanted to be her. So I wanted to be a singer-songwriter, but just failed because I'm not a good singer. So I decided to make music for someone else, like pop song, musical, films. But 2 years ago, just Decca suggested me to play your own song. Why don't you play it? So I just forgot about the singer-songwriter era. And what can I do? What should I do? And I just concentrated on what can I do? What is the main language? I just thought my own language is just the piano. And piano and orchestra. And I can start from it. I just forgot about my passion for to be a songwriter. singer-songwriter, but, and you know what? It was a pandemic. During the pandemic, I just thought, I just asked myself, what can I do as a as an artist to this world? It was a little bit vulnerable for me. As an artist, what can I do to what can I do for this world? And I just thought, I'm a listening man. I have to listen to the client, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't have ears to listen. We didn't listen carefully to each other, to other species, to this planet saying, yeah, that's where I can start. I'm a listening man. I really want to be a listening man. That's how I started.
You're thinking, you're mentioning Bjork, she listens. Her music about mushrooms is her listening, is her reacting to the world. And, you know, I felt as moved by Fasora as I was by Listen. I think that it's a beautiful, beautiful, as you're talking about, it's a response to the world. It's a response to each other. And it's very calming. I found it very beautiful. So congratulations on that. Yeah. Yeah. I know we're supposed to be talking about Parasite as well, because that's what we're here for, because you're coming to Australia to do the live score for it. But I couldn't help but ask about that, because I felt that it is this beautiful dichotomy, or this difference between your work as a personal artist and your work as a composer for other people. And yet, what I find fascinating too, and I don't know if this is something that you choose or not, but I think of some of the films that you've done and the work that you've composed for, Squid Game, Parasite, Broker, even Okja as well, they're actually films and series that explore the class system in a lot of ways, the global class system. And I feel that in your work that you use different styles of instruments, percussion, violin, piano, to accentuate the class divide between people. And this, I feel, is most felt in the Parasite score, of course, in the different layers there. Is this something that you find in your work, that you're exploring class system through music?
Well, to be honest, it's like a coincidence.
Okay.
but class system, directors who cares about class system like my music.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure, but it's just unique, or I'm not sure.
Do you think possibly, because I've read interviews with you and listened to interviews where you talk about needing to find, like, as a young person, you're needing to have to work, get money, and really push yourself to earn a living. And I wonder if your understanding of that, of what it means to really work hard, maybe that's what they hear in the music. Do you feel that might be possible?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I wonder, where did you get that?
Oh, you did an interview with the BFI, I think it was 2 years ago, where there was a panel conversation, and then that was, which I thought was quite fascinating. And then there was a couple of other interviews which I'd read. I do my research. But yeah, it's,
I admit that I had to survive. And I think art is not that special. Art is one kind of
labor.
Mm-hmm. And I'm keeping that in mind every day.
And do you feel that art might be special, though, because we have an emotional reaction to it? Like, if we're emotionally moved, if we find ourselves crying, laughing because of the art, then it is special, no?
I think art is not that special.
Right.
Art is just one kind of labor. And, but, you know, when I think about Pina Bausch, the choreographer that I just mentioned, she just seat. This is all right. Seat.
Sit down.
Plant.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, seed. Yes.
Yeah. Unknown atmosphere in my mind. Well, sometimes I feel like art is very powerless. But you can seed a seed to one's soul, and that will bloom. Yeah, it will bloom, and it'll change the world.
Because you got to see her perform, didn't you?
Yeah.
You watched Pino, yeah. What was that like?
It's like some kind of atmospheres blooming. And then at the end of the stage, you can see the very big mountain. It's like that. Very
gradual.
Because
I'd seen the documentary, so I'm familiar with her work, but I never got to see her perform live. And I can imagine what that would be like. But I also understand that you are fascinated by dance and choreography and trying to weave that. Like, I watched some of your live performances, and you weave a theatricality into your work. When you're sitting at the piano, you're engaging with people so much in almost a dance-like way. Can you talk about what... I love dance. Like, dancing is to me, one of the most purest forms of expression.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you are opening up your heart to people, right, in a way that words cannot transcribe. What does it mean to you? What does dance and choreography mean to you?
I don't know. I love it. And I can say I had to be a dancer or a choreographer rather than musician. Yeah. It's more pure.
Yeah.
One of the purest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get so moved by watching people dance in such a way. I imagine you would too, like watching Peanut dance would be such an emotionally enriching experience. I mean, this is years later and you're still holding that memory in your mind of her. But that's what the power of it is, right? It's beautiful. Yeah. But it's also what the power of live performance is too. And so let's talk about doing the live score for Parasite and coming to Melbourne to do that. Yeah. That's going to be quite an experience. But how are you going to balance performing a live score while the film is there? How do you still bring that level of theatricality?
Well, I just try to make as real. Does it make sense?
Yeah. To bring a like real, you know, a reality to it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to make a mistake. because it's very complicated things to make a live performance with the film.
And I've loved being able to talk with you about your work and dancing. Like, it's beautiful to hear you talk about that. But I'm so excited for people who get to see this live and get to experience what you're going to perform live. But I'm curious, then, you're talking
you're
about
come.
Almost, like you're talking about a pressure in a way of having to perform live and to match up with the visuals. How do you keep yourself sane, like balancing that? How do you deal with that mental pressure?
Well, to be honest, the first thing is deadline and withdrawal. That's it.
What do you mean by withdrawal?
Not withdrawal, it's deposit.
Deadline and then giving over, like delivering what the item is, what the work is.
Oh, deadline and the money that I should get.
Ah, right, yes. I know what you mean. Yeah, the payment,
the payment.
Because as you're saying, it is a trade, right? This art is a trade, and so it's the work that you do. I've absolutely loved being able to talk with you. This has been a delight of a conversation. I hope that you've enjoyed it too.
I know really sorry for my bad English.
You've been great. You have nothing to apologize for. Thank you so much for your time. I know that you're going to enjoy Australia. Is this your first time in Australia?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, have so fun. Yeah.
You're going to be there, Melbourne?
No, I'm on the other side of the country. I'm in Perth. I unfortunately won't be there in person, but my colleagues will be there and they'll be enjoying it in person. So they'll be able to watch you do all your magic and everything and have a great time. I know of it. Yeah. But I've appreciated this so much. Thank you so much. Have a lovely afternoon. Yeah. Likewise. Take care. Okay.
Bye.
Hey, thanks again for listening to Chat with Yung Jae-il, and thank you again to Yung Jae-il for joining me all the way from Korea to talk about his music. He will be in Melbourne to perform a live score for screenings of Parasite on 23rd of August. MIFF.com.au is where you get tickets to that. For other interviews and reviews, visit curd.com.au. Please rate, review, and share this interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they like it as much as you have. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and I will see you on the next one.